Well, there's Damien Hardwick getting pretty agitated in the end. His discussion and our subject of our Saturday Spotlight today there is the draft system and whether there needs to be changes in terms of clubs meeting and discussing with players before they're out of contract. Well, indeed, it's not just the meeting, is it? It's the discussing and the talking about it. Kingy, it's something you've got some strong thoughts on because Damien alluded to the American system and that's something that you're right across.
I love the American model. As a total package, and we take bits and pieces from it. We don't take the whole lot in its entirety, and probably rightly so. But I think when you look at free agency and your ability to trade players, there's no perfect system. But in America, and particularly the NFL, they have rigid rules. And if you break those rules, you lose first-round picks. The fines are enormous. Everyone knows the rules. So as soon as you're found guilty, there's no discussion. It's bang. You cannot talk to the player until the season's finished. Or
not even his management.
Not even his management. And if you're found to have done that, it's black and white. They're the rules. There is no grey area. And I agree with Damien Hardwick. I think that we need to look at this because it's a nonsense that you've got players playing right now. I know rugby league do it and they can have their system. And I'm not sure that's that popular at the moment.
Culturally, Australians struggle with that policy that the NRL uses.
So I think
nice
that Damien's
choice of words too.
So what would
culturally Australian?
So when would the window? What would you be allowed to do, Kingy? In terms, if you wanted to, if you were Brisbane and you wanted to get Alex Rance, you can't make any sort of approach at all until the moment the season's over. Basically,
I think that would be logical. I mean, you need the player invested in the club that he's at, both physically and mentally. I heard Mick talk about Eddie Betts and whether he was there, and Mick can have his own thoughts on that and whether he was 100% buying into the plan and emotionally connected. And I think it's a good talking point. I really think Damien's got some merit.
Well, the fact that when Mick said it straight away, they're the questions that are going to get raised. When Damien Hardwick said it, I felt for him because they're playing Richmond. They're playing Essendon at the Dreamtime, the G game tonight. Big game. They've just knocked over Port Adelaide over there. His major press conference. It just so happens that we've written that Brisbane are chasing the bookends, Charlie Dixon and Alex Rance. And he gets, hi, hello, everyone. Bang.
There's a few chasing
Rance,
Charlie.
Rance. And he goes, right, next question. He answered. I thought he answered brilliantly.
He did.
Brought up this entire tampering with players. And I thought to myself, that's a great idea, Doom. But then I thought to myself, how do you police every single club talking to...
You police. They 15, police themselves.
15, 20... Oh, they'll police themselves.
Because
you know
as soon as one's caught, bang.
The clubs will be ringing the media and saying, hey, we've got one for you. Brisbane has spoken to Alex Rance.
Club X, player X.
Yeah, and all that. Yeah. So the stories will get out.
Actually, absolutely, they do.
Probably should think of some other terminology than Club X.
Yeah, don't go with that. That's quite a common trade.
But practically then, I mean, if you're out of contract, how do you move
But you're
to
never out of contract. No, you're never out of contract. You're out of contract at October 31. So you're not out of contract.
Well,
they would have to adjust... they'd have to adjust...
They don't
trade
have to adjust
week.
Anything.
No, well, trade week. Players are in contract to October 31. Trade week and free agency period starts 5 days, 6 days after the grand final.
Our trade week is a nonsense. It really is. It's a Clayton's trade week. Most of the deals are already spoken about for months in advance. And it drags on. It rolls on. The NFL system is they half combine free agency, the trade, and the draft in one go. And well, it is an absolute spectacle.
We do try and do that. We do. We've now combined free agency and the trade period. But there's one thing that David Swartz said this week, which I agree with. He said, what happens if the big deal to Buddy gets tied up in trade week and doesn't get done? And there's so many other variables and trades waiting to happen for the Buddy Franklin trade
that
to go
through.
That
happens now, doesn't it?
It happens anyway.
It does. But if we've got zero talk, if we've got zero
talk. You're talking an enormous extent.
No one's allowed to talk.
Can you imagine the excitement building awesome. to that minute where you can start?
What about the frustrations?
Be fantastic.
But you wouldn't know whether to re-sign.
I agree with you.
Would you not know whether to re-sign with your own club though in that circumstance? Because you wouldn't know.
But you re-sign anyway. If you want to stay there.
You can always re-sign. Yeah, I know you can, but you don't want to re-sign if you don't know what's out there for you, do you? Why would you re-sign with your own club? You have to guess what other clubs want for me.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think that's a very difficult situation, isn't it?
Why?
Well, because you might say, I'm happy here, but I didn't know that I was going to be offered... I'm on $1 million here. I didn't know I was going to be offered $5 million down the road.
Well, use Alex Rance as the example. Let's just use that because it's topical at the moment. What would Richmond be offering? 600 a year?
I reckon more. Six to seven.
And say Brisbane, he doesn't know what Brisbane are going to offer.
This he does.
But he does. But he does, doesn't he?
Under the world we're talking.
Yeah. Okay, so
under the system we're talking.
Okay.
He would have...
In fact, he doesn't know Brisbane are interested in him.
No, right now?
No, in the world you're talking.
No idea.
He
would assume that there's going to be an offer from Fremantle or west of the land, and he knows there's something coming from Brisbane.
How does he know that under yours?
Because he knows that Brisbane need a key defender and a key forward.
Well, you're asking him to know a lot, though, aren't you?
No, they're not stupid. They're not idiots.
You interview people from Brisbane, they say, yeah, at the end of the year, we're going to hunt a key defender.
Okay. Yeah.
He knows, it's in the wind.
Do you think
they can say we need a key back and we need a key forward. Right. They just can't talk to the player. They can tell us what they need.
Yeah.
Look, we know there's 15 to 20 players that are available from this player to this player, and we will be talking to one of them.
So they can put them on the radar without talking to the player. Go on in this system.
Alex Rance would know that whatever he's getting offered from Richmond, there would be 30% more, a percentage point more offered elsewhere. That's logical. So he would know if it's a financial decision, he's probably going to go.
Right now, these stories have been written for 30 years. Basically, we joke sometimes, just change the names and change the clubs.
Mm.
Just keep a standard copy and just insert names. Club chasing players. Yeah, well, clubs chase players.
Collingwood chasing a manager. Yeah, Collingwood chasing.
Collingwood miss out on
contract player.
Collingwood miss out on.
You speak to a club, and I spoke to Greg Swan. I said, well, what's going on? And we sort of have a chat. He goes, oh, so I need a comment. So he gives me a comment. Find out who Charlie Dixon's manager is. It's Peter Blucher. Ring up Peter Blucher. He gives me a comment. You put together, bookends, $8 million, 5 years. Everyone goes, God, look at the money. But that's what it is these days, dude. They're going to give them, they have to, if they're going to entice players away.
You got to pay overs.
You've got to pay overs and you've got to give them overs in probably longevity as well. Now, that makes that decision absolutely crucial that you get it right. That they're not, you know, for example, I mean, the Dale Thomas situation at Carlton. I mean, seriously, that is a lose-lose. It's a win for Thomas, and it's a lose.
It's a big win for
Daisy. Right now, I was thinking about this last night. Everyone's going, oh, who's Carlton going to trade? And I said to some people I was with, I said, they can't even trade Thomas, their highest paid player, because no one will take him. He is untradeable with his $700,000 salary. Sorry.
They'd have to cough up, if it's 700, they'd have to cough up 600. If somebody else wanted to take it.
So how bad of a decision was that by Carlton?
600.
Yeah, well, he's on 7.
If you wanted him on your list, the way his body is unfortunately failing, he's a damn fine player. That's not... We can put the boots into him a little bit.
He was a damn fine player when his body was working for him.
Right now, he's an undersized midfielder who can't kick it well, can't cover the ground as much as he used to, and he's getting knocked around. And you would be buying him for
what?
The experience he could bring to the team. Don't wince.
No, but the point is, why did Carlton recruit him? They knew he had a bung ankle.
I'll tell you why they recruited him.
We're getting distracted here. This is not what we're meant to be talking about.
The same as Hawthorne wants to increase their playing potential. 15 years ago, they recruit Joel Smith because it's hard to get the talented players. So you take one that's actually got a bit of hail damage on him and then you put him in the panel beaters and you get it smoothed out and you got a brand new vehicle again. That's what they were hoping for. They just couldn't clear out the damage on him. But get back onto the original subject of...
It was great. Sort of interlude there.
See, I think that the quicker we get to the ability to trade future draft picks and trade in draft, I think the better the system will be. I think the American system, it has some flaws. I mean, they've got a massive player base and they're a different age, so you know exactly what you're getting because they've been through the university system. But I think we could adopt some of their ideology.
Doesn't it potentially...
Hello.
Is that your wallet? Hello.
It ain't running back either. It's running away.
Doesn't it potentially make it more difficult for clubs, though, because they won't have the knowledge about what players are likely to want to go?
They know. It's amazing how they know this information, Anthony. But they know it.
But you're trying to restrict them from knowing it, aren't you?
I just think it's an ugly part of our game. It's an ugly part of our game that that club. I mean, we talk about Aish. You talk about him catching up with Carlton
four days before Brisbane. We're playing Carlton.
That's ugly. that is ugly.
Of course it is.
It's lose-lose for everyone there.
Yeah, there's no winner out of that.
But what if the if the management can do it, though? I mean, does the player... Doesn't that almost solve the problem? No, but under your system they can't. But at the moment they can.
The club cannot make contact with the player or his manager to discuss the opportunity to get that...
I know you're saying that, but what... What does it matter if the management can do it and the player, as long as the player can't? So you don't have that thing where Aish or Rance is meeting
But effectively is, because his representative is going off to talk to another club. He comes back and says, oh, guess what?
You got 800 a year from Brisbane.
Well, you license all the player managers.
Yeah, I know that. I'm not saying that would make
them subscribe to the rules that you place on top
of them. This has been going on for 30 years.
Is it that bad? Is it that bad that we need to change?
It's just distraction.
Every single club knows what players are leaving their football clubs at the end of this year.
There should be
no
middle ground, Robbo. There should be a complete blanket over the lot where no contact is made until a set period after the last game of AFL is played for the year, or it should be open slate.
Okay, what are you adhering to?
I'm almost completely with Kingy's model. No contact whatsoever until a certain period, but then when that period opens up, I don't like, as you say, the conglomeration of the trade deal tables all coming into the draft and all, almost like that movie in America. What it was, Draft Day?
How good was that?
Yeah, I know, it's interesting, but I don't think that system will work in Australia. We're not ready for that, but I wouldn't mind the blanket, no contact, managers or players or club, any representative whatsoever, until the final game. It might be October the 1st. And then she's on for young and old. Contact anywhere you want. If you don't want to go, you say, thanks for your call. No thanks speaking to you.
I agree.
Move on. And then we have the draft day thereafter.
I agree with them wholeheartedly. I think something has to change. I really do. Because, and imagine the intrigue during the year if the media, us, right, not you guys, but us in the newspapers, find out that someone's tampering.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
that's seriously,
everyone will hate that.
But you have to have significant penalties. They have to be first round selection next year, second round the year after. They have to be. It can't be a wet lettuce leaf.
No,
it's got to be bang.
The other thing they'll throw at you,
under that other model, the draft day model, let's just say that this year Carlton finished wooden spooners and they decide that they're going to put pick one on the table. Pick one's up for grabs, and you've got a 15-minute window to buy yourself into pick one. Can you imagine the mayhem of opportunities? Clubs trying to trade in, trying to throw
up
players.
How long would the trade this thing take to do?
It's 10 minutes.
But the whole trade period.
It's called.
They do first round over a day.
You probably need. Oh, you reckon?
This is what they do in the NFL. The first day is first round, so 32 picks, and then they go second and third round the next day. And so on after.
Interesting, that's for us.
That's the full.
That's a draft.
That's going the full whammy.
This is not a trade period.
But they can trade. Right. The moment the season finishes, they can trade.
Right. So you've got another trade period as well.
They've got a trade and players are just.
And then they keep trading. They keep trading until the NFL says, right, no more trades.
That would work.
This is over.
Interestingly enough for us, but the Players Association, because of the players' uncertainty as to the direction they're going, they would fight tooth and nail against.
The clubs have got no hold, though. That's the bottom line.
What about the uncertainty of a club saying, right, we'll get pick one, we'll get first round and pick five for the next year. And they put all their eggs into this one basket to make, right, we're going to load up all these picks and we have a bad national draft. And they're stuck. They've actually put every sort of knowledge into this one draft, and it's not a strong draft. It can set the club back.
You can't
years.
Legislate for bad decisions.
No, but they got more information. But they got more information.
We've tried to with a couple of
We've
clubs.
We've tried to help them as much as we can. But the bad clubs will make bad decisions. It's just what happens.
No, but sometimes you get a first round pick, and it just doesn't work out. And he might have been the really good under 18 player.
Yeah.
You said before the universities, they get them at, what, 21, 22?
Sometimes 26.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, in our game, we've got these people called recruiters making judgments on 17-year-olds without really these 17-year-olds having really developed a...
We're the only elite sport DNA. In the world that chooses players for a profession before we know we're getting
yes.
what we're getting.
Now, that is very, very difficult.
All right, boys, we're just about out of time. Time for our tips for today as we have a look at the remainder of round 9. Hawthorn and the Gold Coast down at Lonnie.
Hawks kick the sweep.
You're not tipping.
I haven't heard that for a while.
You're not tipping real well at the moment, Mark. I've noticed your tips have dropped off a little bit this year.
I picked Sydney last night.
Did you?
that was bold.
Well done.
What are you on? You know why you said that?
I'm around you.
Because you picked Melbourne and picked Richmond last
That's
weekend.
That's how bad I was going. I had to go roughies this year. What
are you on? You're on our tips at the Herald Sun. What are you on?
I think I'm up the
He's coming
sharp
second.
End.
He's
of
coming
mark.
Second. He's right up there.
I'm 44. The leader's got 49.
What'll the margin be?
I think I'm 48.
Yeah. I'll catch you.
Did you go to Sydney last night or Carlton? Hawks will kill them, won't they?
St Kilda or Brisbane? I went St Kilda.
Hawks, Gold Coast, and not just saying, you know, I'm a Hawthorn background, but could be, really, really strongly, could be a 100-point margin. Mm.
All right, Melbourne and Port Adelaide. Interesting
good
one, this
game.
One.
It's a tough game. Nah, it's going to be... I wish it was at the MCG and it was a bit haily. That's all I want. A bit of rain, but I made the mistake I thought it was.
I'll tell you what.
And then I found out it's in the middle of Australia. It's going to be 30 degrees, so I went Port Adelaide.
Melbourne performed really, really well in the Alice last year when
too.
Port Adelaide were the best team in the comp, had not lost a game, and Melbourne took it right up to them. Trengove out is a whole lot of hurt for Port's backline. Without him, they would have fallen apart and might have dropped a couple more. He's out. I've got Port on my parole list. They have one more game. They've got one more game, and then I'm shelving them. I'm going
to detention after that.
It's got a lot of mates on parole.
anyone actually tipping Melbourne?
I think I tipped Port, but I wouldn't be surprised if Melbourne get them. They've seen the plan. Yeah. They know how to beat them.
Yeah. Any chance the Dogs over the Giants today?
Oh, yeah. They're a chance, but they won't win. But they're a chance. It'd be interesting to see Griffin back against his old...
Played his best game last week by a long way. He was running and carrying the ball. The worst ground to play GWS at the moment, Etihad Stadium. Yeah.
Hey, just quickly, if you're playing against GWS, who's your number one target to attack?
Shields.
Absolutely, no doubt. And he looks like he's recommitted.
Two big games tonight, Richmond and Essendon.
Oh, God almighty.
Tigers for me.
Tigers.
Bombros.
Richmond for me, but gee, it's a tough one.
Who knows with those two?
And Adelaide, very undermanned. You can't see them really challenging Fremantle, even though it's at home, can you?
No, the Dockers.
No.
They roll on. 9 out of 9 for Ross and the team.
They're getting all their running players injured. I don't know where they're going to get them from.
All right, let's call it quits there. It's the big footy coming up this afternoon, of course, on 11:16 SEN. That big game between Melbourne and Port Adelaide from Traeger Park. They play their tree really well, Melbourne, so we'll see how they fare. Robbo, last word.
Well done, Dermot. Pretty fiery today. Good start to the show. Yeah. So we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Enjoyed it.
Just cool off.
Footy's next. It's crunch time again. With thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.